Hi, I'm Dr. Louise Aki with the Medication Insider podcast on March 3rd, 2021. And I'm going to start with a comment from a subscriber, Jack, who's asking me, Dr. Louise, you sound like you don't like mail order in your articles. Do you really have something against mail order? And if so, why? That's an interesting question, Jack. I have been a pharmacist for 42 years, and I've seen people go from mostly using local pharmacies to switching to mail order. And if you are retired, about 80% of people do use mail order pharmacy. Now, you do save money. There's no doubt that there's a financial incentive for your insurance to herd you to mail order. But though it's saving money, you give up something. You give up personal service, personal oversight, and the ability to forge a relationship with a professional that will always have your back when it comes to medications and medication questions. Doctors barely have time these days to find out what's wrong with you, and they don't have much time to explain the prescription that they're going to use. And about 70% or more of every doctor visit ends with a prescription. So medications are the most commonly used treatment for nearly all of our medical conditions. So doctors and prescribers tend to lean on the pharmacy to fill the gap of explaining what the medicine is all about, what it does, how it does it, and what to watch out for. They're assuming that there's some way that that patient can get their questions answered more specifically about that medicine. That would be best if it was a face-to-face encounter where they can ask the questions that come up. But as we know, mail order is done without a face-to-face encounter between the patient and the pharmacy. In fact, it can be a delay of up to a week or more between the time that your doctor tells you that they're going to start a new medicine and the time that it arrives in the mail. And then you need to figure out what to do now. And frankly, people can forget. You can forget a lot in a week and a half. He also asked, what is it about mail order that's particularly challenging? He says, faxes seem to be so unreliable. Can't doctors communicate via text and email? That way they can communicate with each other more consistently. Well, Jack, faxes are more secure. Email and texts can be more easily hacked. In fact, if you've ever dealt with a bank in the last couple years, you have found that they still want you to use a fax machine or do it in person, unless they have a secure portal like DocuSign. Then you can use something like that. And you also have, most doctors' offices are encouraging you to sign up for their patient portal where they can communicate with you electronically through a more secure setup. Back to faxes. I handle faxes, about 20 of them a day, between myself and nursing homes and assisted living facilities to handle lab reports. We manage patients on blood thinners through ordering labs and then adjusting their medication. And it used to be we used fax machines. As a pharmacist, we'd walk up to a fax machine, stick a piece of paper in it like a copy machine, and then punch buttons or hit a preset button that would then dial a telephone line that connected to a similar fax machine that sat in the doctor's office. It was a physical fax machine communicating to another physical fax machine. And that phone would call that other fax machine, and you would hear a tone when that fax machine picked up and the order transmitted. So you knew that the fax went through. That's not how we fax most of our faxes today. We still have physical faxes, which we call hard fax, like hard copy, hard fax. But since we use electronic charts, electronic medical records, also known as EMRs, we can fax in and out of those as well. And they are a very convenient way to transmit information. The problem is, it's not a direct communication anymore. What happens is the fax goes from that electronic medical record to a switching point where it lines up and waits in a line or a queue to be moved on to its final destination, which is also an electronic destination. And that's the spot where things go wrong or sideways. The faxes stack up, but if they don't get moved on in a certain period of time, they drop to the bottom of that queue and have to work their way back up. And if this happens three or more times, they often will drop out of the system entirely. But the person in the doctor's office who faxed it doesn't always get that rejection. To them, it often looks like, well, we faxed it, what's the problem? And the pharmacy or the other doctor's office on the other end never gets the fax. Mondays and Fridays are the busiest days for healthcare communication. And that also happens to be the days that these faxes are most likely to get lost. How do I know this? I manage blood thinners at 8 different nursing homes and 9 assisted living facilities in our community. And I do faxing every day during the week, about 20 lab orders to the nursing home. And then they fax their results to me from the lab. And I track every single order and for what day it's supposed to arrive back and be done. So I already keep a list of when these lab tests are due to be drawn and processed and sent to me for management. And I can assure you that not every one of those 20 faxes gets to me. Yet I know that the nurses are doing exactly the same procedure each time, and they have no idea what goes wrong. And it's never always the same facility and not always the same nurses. So one or two out of those 20 faxes goes into what I call the black hole. Sometimes it'll show up the next day or a day later. Most of the time, it doesn't show up at all. Yet when the nurse looks at their fax machine in their facility, it looks like it arrived. So that's a problem, because although I can call up the nursing facility or the assisted living facility to find out what their lab results were, if you don't know the fax is coming, you don't know that you haven't received it. And this is what happens a lot of times when there's conflict between pharmacy and your doctor's office. When there is a refill needed, they fax the doctor and the doctor says, "We didn't get a fax." And then the pharmacy points the finger at the doctor's office and says, "We faxed them 3 times and they're not responding." Sometimes the faxes just aren't going through, but there are other possibilities that could be going on. But there's a lot of blame. It could be that the doctor's office is the wrong doctor, and many times they'll just ignore the fax request. That's not our patient. That's not the drug we're managing, and they ignore it. The doctor could be on vacation or on extended leave, and someone else is trying to cover for them, and so there's a delay of sometimes up to a week. Or the fax goes missing and where did it go? Don't know. Sometimes I feel like these faxes, they're on a beach somewhere, enjoying a fruity drink and just ignoring the whole thing. And we're going, because we're trying to communicate the need for a refill and the refill back. Or sometimes we're communicating the The formulary doesn't allow that. The patient would have to pay $300 for that prescription, and they really don't want to do it. Can you recommend something else? Those faxes also get lost as well. So what I do to help limit this problem, many of my patients go on vacation. Well, before COVID, they went on vacation and they would go down south for the winter and they'd be there for 2 to 3 months, or they would go on a tour. They'd get into their RV and they would go on a tour visiting family and friends around the United States. And I would give them a prescription for a lab, several copies sometimes if they're going to be gone and traveling to different parts of the country. And it works like a prescription, but instead of giving it to a pharmacy, they give it to a laboratory office somewhere. They can walk into any lab, whether it's in a hospital or a standalone office, and get the lab drawn. Because if you walk in and you say, I need a lab, they look at you like, so? We can't give you that unless you have a doctor's order. So they have a prescription, a doctor's order for that lab. But I always emphasize to them, you please, 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 you need to tell us, call us and tell us today, I went to the lab and the lab is here. It's Sedona Labs in Albuquerque, or it's Script Labs in San Diego, or whatever. And then we can call them if it doesn't arrive in a reasonable amount of time. And frankly, 50% of the time we have to call because there's either a delay or it never arrives. If there's a delay of 2 to 3 days with the labs that we're dealing with, that is not an optimal thing because you lose the opportunity to intervene in a timely manner. It's also important if it's a high stakes thing, such as a referral to another provider. Faxes go missing when doctor's offices send referrals. So if you don't get back from a referral and your doctor's office says, hey, I faxed the referral. If you don't hear back, call, because there's no guarantee that it isn't one of those in the black hole or on a beach somewhere, minding their own business and not being where they need to be or where they're supposed to be. I experienced this on a personal level 5 years ago. I was having problems and it turned out to be a lupus diagnosis. And they sent me to a rheumatologist over in Seattle, which is a 3.5 hour drive from my house. So I drive 3.5 hours. I sit in the specialist's waiting room for over an hour on a Friday afternoon. I finally get to the room and they go, who are you? What do you mean? Who am I? We don't have any of your records. We don't know who you are. And I got to pay the $200 copay for the specialist visit anyway. I wanted to rip my hair out. And so I will never make that assumption ever again. And I recommend to people the same thing. If you are getting your prescription from a mail order pharmacy and you are getting close to needing that refill before you run out, if you're asking me to fax that refill to your mail order pharmacy, I'm asking you to check the next day to make sure they received it. If it's not in their system by the next day, they are not going to get it in a timely manner. And please call me and I will refax. Usually the refax goes through every time. Okay, it's the law of averages, the 1 out of 20 faxes that goes walkabout. That's a great question. And I'm glad that Jack asked it. Another question is finger pokes. And Jack mentioned that he loved the video on my YouTube channel, Medication Insider, that talks about how to do a finger stick, a practically painless finger stick for INR testing, because he has an INR home machine and he has to test every 2 weeks. And unfortunately, if you're only doing a finger stick every 2 weeks, if you don't have a good technique the first couple times, it takes a long time to learn it because you have a long time between each time, 2 whole weeks to forget how you did it last time. But he said, in desperation, he looked at it and he went, wow, I was using 3 strips per blood test and I was running out of strips all the time. And since I watched that, I went, whoa, I've been getting it on the first strip every time. And his wife, Sharon, chimed in and said, well, I have just been diagnosed with type 2 diabetes and they gave me a glucometer. And I was lucky enough to be able to get my glucometer down at my local pharmacy and they explained to me how to use it. That is another reason why mail order pharmacies are less expensive, but you're giving up the one-on-one relationship and the opportunity to get in person how to, showing you how to use a glucometer, how to use a meter dose inhaler. So she watched the video and she goes, oh, it was so easy. I am so glad it's there. So yes, there is a finger stick video on Medication Insider's YouTube channel. If you want to look it over and it helps you, that would be useful to some people. I originally did the video for my nursing home nurses who need to be able to do finger pokes the first time because their resident doesn't like finger poke after finger poke after finger poke. Pretty soon they're going, you got that machine? You're going to stab my finger 3 times? No, thank you. And now they've got a fight on their hands. So being able to go in and do it the first time is so much less stress for the nursing staff, for the patient. And that's a good thing. Less stress is a good thing. That's it for our podcast this week. I will be doing another podcast on Tuesday evenings at 7 p.m. Pacific time. If you have questions, you can send them ahead of time, or you can just sit you can join in on the call. And it's a Zoom call that we use the audio. So you can sit in your pajamas if you want. Nobody will see you. We will just do the recording. Thanks again for listening and have a great rest of the day.